Good morning, Sower Nation. Today is Tuesday, June 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm Dan Wilt, and this is your wake-up call. Good morning, friend. Friend and friend of God. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends, because we know what Jesus does. We are learning. He's showing us what he's doing, and we get to participate with him. And that's what this whole All the Things Everyday Ministry in the Power of the Holy Spirit series is all about. So today is Tuesday. It's Taco Tuesday. I hope you're having tacos at some point today. But that means that JD is going to be joining me here after the time of prayer and our activation and before we sing, and you won't want to miss that. That's going to be a special conversation we're having around today's entry. So without any further ado, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let's pray our prayer of consecration together as we begin today's meeting with Jesus. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today's entry is titled, You Get to Play. Spiritual gifts are for everyone. And our passage for today is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 7. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The word of the Lord. Consider this. After teaching one Sunday morning on doing the stuff that Jesus did, I invited my entire congregation to stand. In our church of 400, there were children, teenagers, young adults, middle-aged adults, and seniors. There were unemployed people, there were business owners, waitresses, IT specialists, doctors, people who lived on the street, musicians. We were from different ethnic backgrounds. We were all shapes and sizes of bodies, hearts, and hopes. And as we stood, I lifted my hands in a blessing and made this statement. I hereby commission you to be pastors of your neighborhoods and workplaces. Heal the sick. Minister to the broken. Serve the needy. Be witnesses. Make disciples. Be the love of Jesus wherever you go. And then, because we could do this in my church, we all high-fived, and we walked out the door as people of the Great Commission. Well, what followed was nothing short of amazing. Stories of miraculous encounters with the Holy Spirit around our city began to pour in over the next few months. Healings, conversions, open doors of friendship with people who had been previously resistant. Dreams, visions. The unemployed and vulnerable received miraculous provision, both through church members and through surprising means. We were ordinary people, just like you, just like me, taking God up on his promise to go before us with the words we needed to say and to give us the power we needed to minister in the name and the love of Jesus. But something in us resists believing that God wants to use us, little old me. Making superheroes out of gifted people seems to come naturally to us as human beings. I remember how I felt when someone who was obviously very gifted, or at least very good with a microphone, told miraculous stories from a stage. And I would wonder, is there something wrong with me? These things don't happen as often to me for those I pray for. What's so special about them and not so special about me? Honestly, I often wondered if the person speaking would have liked that I thought that way. That's again, the human heart, right? Not everyone understands that when one is used in certain spiritual gifts, one's ministry is to train others in being used in that gift, not to keep it to themselves. Now, this is a key idea when it comes to all the spiritual gifts. Again, I've talked about John Thompson's book, Convergence, which is a brilliant piece of work on spiritual gifts that we have at Seedbed. And just this idea that there are different manifestations of the Spirit, as our scripture says, that are for the common good. And we need to understand that we are not all used in the same ways. We're not all ministry agents, if you will, in the same ways in our lives. But one of the things I think is so important for us to note here is that when God gives us gifts for the common good, we use them to serve and love others, but we also, for the common good, train others who have similar gift mixes and others who don't necessarily in how we do what we do, so that we continue to pass it on. This is discipleship. This is being witnesses who then make disciples, others who are lifelong learners, learning to walk, as we've said, in the dust of our rabbi. Well, in that moment, when I was saying about hearing a person and them feeling very special and me not, and how that might feel, you know, all around, I realized that I was seeing it all wrong. As Eugene Peterson puts it in 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7 in the Message, this: God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. In other words, God uses someone one way with some regularity, and He uses me another way with some regularity. We all may get to experience being used in gifts that are not as normal for us, but we may have some ways that God tends to typically use us. And here's my point in this idea that we would often talk about in the Vineyard Movement and John Wimber, that everyone gets to play. Here's my point. We should relax. Lean into the ways that God uses you. The variety is wonderful. If you love to bake, start by baking cookies and cakes to serve others. Then ask the Holy Spirit, is there a bit more you want me to do or that you want to do through me as I deliver these? Small step by small step, we become someone who takes small risks, which lead to bigger ones. So instead of being people of fear, we grow into people of faith with each new thing that God does, just because we said yes. And when we seem to fail, it's another opportunity to learn and grow wiser as we partner with the Holy Spirit. Even our failures are turned toward the good because we are coming in love. And again, anyone that we encourage, anyone we minister to through our unique gifts, anyone that we love in Jesus' name should always at least leave feeling encouraged and aware that God loves them, a deposit of the love of God in their hearts. When I commissioned my church that day, something was awakened in us. God was moving all over our city, in homes, in hospitals, in schools, in neighborhoods. Only now we had eyes to see it and the faith to join in. Our community took God at His word to use us through the grace gifts He hands out to His apprentices. And the shocking thing was that people were being used by God in ways to which they weren't accustomed. Some took risks to pray for the sick. Some took risks of faith to minister to their neighbors with wise counsel. Others discerned difficult situations and helped bring people to understanding. Still others moved in gifts of encouragement and words of knowledge. Here's the punchline. Spiritual gifts are for everyone. They're for you, they're for me. This week, welcome God to use you in a way that you may have not experienced before. And here's our prayer. Lord Jesus, I am ready to take some risks of faith with you today. Give me ears to hear what you are saying and eyes to see what you are doing so I can partner with the work of your Spirit in the lives of others. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And here's our journal prompt. Imagine Jesus putting His hands on your head and saying, I commission you to go and be my witness in your neighborhood. Here are spiritual gifts for the mission we will do together. Journal about how that image of Jesus putting His hands on your head, commissioning you, how that would change your life as you minister with Jesus in your neighborhood, or in your workplace, or in your church, or in the places where God sends you. And here's our activation for today. Today, begin to see yourself as a pastor of your neighborhood. Instead of doing what you can do within your own human limitations to serve a neighbor, ask the Lord if there's something for you to do that is beyond your natural abilities. Then act on what God reveals to you. And always remember, may I pray for you? That kingdom question is a great question for all occasions. Okay, so that was a lot, but the joy here is that we do get to play, that this isn't just for spiritual superheroes. And so I'm going to invite JD on right now, and he and I are going to have a short conversation about it, and then I'll lead us in one of my favorite songs of worship. All right, JD, we've got our Today shirt on again. Good, good.
It's my favorite shirt, Dan. It's my Tuesday shirt.
I need to get one of these. This is important. I kind of have my own Tuesday shirt here.
If anybody from Seabed's listening, would you make some of these shirts, please?
Yeah, please.
Well, Dan, I love today's entry. You get to play. Spiritual gifts are for everyone.
Yeah.
Bible says everybody's getting one.
Yeah.
And this is a deep well. And our friend, you know, John Thompson is helped us so much with this. We've published his book called Convergence. Maybe we can link that in the notes today. But this is a missing link. Because spiritual gifts aren't like native talents. They're not like, what am I good at? They're empowerments. And I think you've pointed it out. There's a sense in which, like, this continues to happen. Like, in my own life, I don't know if I got more than one. Maybe I've got one. I know I have one.
I'm about to name them, but go ahead.
But encouragement. I just notice the Lord has gifted me, and everybody can encourage in the power of the Holy Spirit, but a gift is next level. It's like it's an empowerment. It kicks into another gear. And I just have a sense of knowing what to say and how to be with a person. And I can do it one-on-one. But interestingly enough, when I do it in a group, I'm still talking to one person out there.
Right.
Or one person over there, one person over there. It's a strange thing. Does that make sense, Dan?
Oh, absolutely. And I think even just naming that says that there's an empowerment. There might be some natural gifts you have that there's some extra emphasis on at times. And you're like, wow, when I run, I feel this pleasure. Like, you know, from
that doesn't happen to me.
That, yeah. But then
when I run, I'm trying to get back home.
But then I look at these moments, like, for example, and I'm going to say it, so just deal with it, is words of wisdom. That's actually what I think comes through in the wake-up call. Mm. I actually think that's one of the primary
words
gifts that we experience the Lord doing through you. Mm. But there are these moments, like you're saying, where you feel. And I'll talk about hearing God's voice in a series of mm-hmm. entries here coming up. But there's this sense of almost, I'd describe it as almost a wave. It's like, it's not, wow, I really want to do this. That's too light. There's something of, we're doing something together. I'm seeing what the Father's doing. Yeah. Like you, when you remember, you told the story the other Tuesday of going back into talk to the person who runs the mail.
Yeah.
It's this sense of the Father's doing something. Reorient your time, your schedule, your moment to align with it. And so you do it. And then there's like this surge of clarity, and you know what to say with that word of encouragement, and it opens up the person. And I think that's where we just got to own that we're royal priests.
Well,
we are
mediated. True.
Like, and we just got to own it.
You have to own it. Let me say this. This is an important point. Occasionally you'll meet a person who's convinced they have all the spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't. They don't. Here's the thing. This is a body working. And like, I may have a word of wisdom in the wake up call one morning. But then you may carry that out, and somebody's heard that, or you're hearing that, and you may have a gift of mercy or a gift of helps.
That's right.
Or a gift of, and you're like, I'm going to exercise that gift. And then another person will come around and they're like, oh, I've got the gift of healing. And it could all be going to work in the same situation.
Orchestration. Right?
It's an orchestration, just like a body is orchestrated intricately, and that's you're doing your job, you're exercising your gift, but that's all you got to do. Pressure's off.
That's right.
Let the body
tell
the story.
And as you lead with a gift, so let's say, you know, there's a moment where, you know, your gift is mercy, and you lean in that moment of pain, and you're there, where the Holy Spirit will say, let's do something we don't usually do. I want to give you a word for them. There is something happening in their relationship with a family member, and I want you to just ask this question. Is there something happening in your life with a, you know? And those moments are moments where the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to take what is natural for you or seems to be something I use you in often, and now I'm going to bring in a charism for the moment. Something that I want to do, and you're the one I'm going to partner with. So there is this orchestration, but then there's not sort of a sitting back and going, well, they do all that stuff. It's like, no, I'm a royal priest in this moment. What are you doing, Father? I want to participate in it, whether it's comfortable for me or whether it's faith is spelled R-I-S-K.
Yes.
And we just, our answer is yes. It's just yes. Naturally supernatural, normal us, but yes. What are you doing?
It's good. Good, Dan. Yeah.
Good stuff, John Dable.
Awesome. I'm ready to get on the field. Will you let me get on the field today?
Let's do it.
Put me in, coach. Put me
all
in.
All right. And let's sing together. All right. Blessings, man. Well, that was a great conversation with JD. I want to lead us in a worship song that is part of my own spiritual history and tradition. And I hope you know it. It's a contemporary worship song. It's not in our hymnal, our Great Redeemer's Praise. but it's called Breathe. And it's really a prayer of longing for Jesus to move in us and then through us in the world. Let's worship together.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you.
Jesus, we are lost without you, but amazing grace, how sweet the sound that we have been found, that we have been seen, that we've been known, that we've been welcomed into this love relationship with you. We ask that you would send us into the world today in your name, carrying your love to all those who we meet today. We want to play. We want to be a part of what you're doing. So Jesus, do your ministry through us now. We come to you. All right, well, let's get those seeds together, and I'll see you on the field for the awakening. I'm Dan Wilmer.